Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm glad that everyone found the new location here. It's only for two more weeks because we're not going to meet on Christmas. I know. Some people want to, but we're not going to this year. So anyway, tonight, as usual, I have good news for you. And the good news tonight is that this universe that we live in is not static. It's forever changing. Therefore, you are forever changing. And your life is forever changing. So when your mind tells you, is this going to go on forever? It's not going to go on forever. Everything that comes into existence comes into existence to go out of existence. Therefore, the saying, it came to pass. It came into existence to pass out of existence. And you have to remember that with all the things and situations in your life. They are not permanent. They are not static. They change. How many people are familiar with the expression, in my Father's house, there are many mansions? That metaphysically means that there are many states of consciousness going on simultaneously. And that we can obtain any consciousness that we wish. We can move up. We call it moving up. It's really, they're all going on simultaneously. How do we know that? Because there's only the now. There's not the now and then. It's always going on. So anything that's going on is going on simultaneously. We don't see the other states of consciousness because we're not there. We haven't brought our vibrations up to those consciousnesses. So, if there are many states of consciousnesses going on, that means also, in the mind of God, there are many beliefs going on, many belief systems going on, and many paradigms going on. And the whole idea for us is to choose a different paradigm. You see, you can't accomplish anything if you're living in a low paradigm and you want something that's in the other paradigm. You have to move to that. You have to let the old go in order to get the new. That's the same way with belief systems, Thomas. So this is what our whole existence is about here on this plane of action, is to learn that we can grow in consciousness, that we can move up to these other consciousnesses, and that these belief systems that we hold on to so earnestly, because we think that they are real, are merely belief systems. Remember last week, I said the whole essence of this teaching is it's done unto you as you believe. And the idea in life is to learn to believe differently. To learn to believe what you want to believe. You can believe anything that you want. And you can bring that into your life. You can change a paradigm anytime you wish. We live in paradigms that are set up by race mind or the collective consciousness. And as soon as we break through one of those, the paradigm changes. The other week when I talked about map making, that we're all map makers. You have to be your own map maker. When Columbus sailed across the ocean, he had no maps whatsoever, but he arrived where he wanted to go. That's what you have to know about yourselves. You have to say, I'm not going to think the way other people. I'm not going to do it the same way as other people. I'm going to find a new way. I'm going to have an idea in my mind of what I want my world to look like, and then move into the world, into that world. Years ago, it was the 4-minute mile that they said humans could not run the 4-minute mile. As soon as Roger Brewster, I believe Bannister. His name was, Barrister.
Bannister.
Bannister. You must got the first name right, Roger. As soon as he was able to do that, he broke the paradigm, and then everyone else was able to do it. But you see, we live in that belief system. Remember when everyone thought the world was flat? As soon as Columbus proved that it wasn't, and the rest, Galileo and the rest of them, then people started a new paradigm. And that's what you have to see. What paradigm am I living under? Whose paradigm am I living under? And do I want to live in that paradigm? Do I want to do that to myself? Because you have the ability to move in any direction that you want to move in. But we like to get everyone a consensus from everybody. You see, well, will you do it with me? If we get a group together and we all go together, it'll be, you don't have to have a group to do it. You can do it. It's called the majority of one. And you can have a consciousness that can conquer a nation. That's what Gandhi did with his consciousness. He conquered a whole nation. He didn't stand around and wait for everyone to join him. In fact, most people weren't joining him at the time. But he held on to that. And he broke through his belief systems and his paradigms into making a paradigm that he wanted. But all of these are just, again, boxes that we keep placing ourselves in. But we can move from one to the other. When in life, if you're not getting what you want, it's because your belief system will not allow you to have it. Or the God that you happen to have at the present moment isn't big enough to bring that to you. So my idea always is, if your God isn't big enough, you kick that God out and you get a bigger and better God. That's all what it's about. If you're not getting what you want out of life, you kick out your belief systems and you get new belief systems. The whole idea of change your mind, change your life is absolutely correct. When we change, but inwardly, our minds, what do we believe about ourselves? Do we still believe in lack and limitation? If you believe in lack and limitation, you're going to have lack and limitation. Sunday, I was out with a friend of mine. He wanted to show me his new Prius. Is that the car, the hybrid car? Drove me over, too fast for me. But he wanted to stop at the 99-cent store, so I said, okay. So he bought all these things at the 99-cent store. When he came out, he noticed that he hadn't closed his window. Oh my gosh, I haven't closed the window. Oh my goodness. He got absolutely, completely upset over that. As soon as he got in the car, he opened everything up, the glove compartment and everything, to make sure that no one had taken anything out of that car. I said, no one's taken anything. But his belief system is that somebody's going to take something if you leave the window down. Or you have to lock the car, you have to lock it up. When you have that working for you as your belief system, you're going to draw that into you. Those are called attractors, and they will come to you because that's absolute fear. And fear will draw what you do not want. Remember Job, what he feared most came upon him. And when you start to fear things, it will always come upon you. It just attracts that way. So that's another thing that you can look at in your life and see, what am I afraid of? I think it was Eleanor Roosevelt who said, anytime you have a fear, try it. Do it. If you're frightful about it, do that. Accomplish that. Do not let a fear build up in you. If you're afraid to fly, go out and fly. If you're afraid to do this, that, or the other thing, do it. You have to show your being and your mind that you can conquer that. That fear is just a fear. You have to have enough faith in yourself that this power that we talk about that's on the inside of you is always greater than any power on the outside of life. And will always, any situation, any circumstance, any problem that you have, has to yield to the power that is within you. But we focus on the outside and we focus on the problem. And we say we're poor and helpless and limited in this way and that way. And we hear this moment. We hear this constantly. So when you hear that, that's all race mind talking. That's all a bunch of twaddle. You don't need to know that. Learn to think for yourself and say, ha ha, That's what they believe. I don't have to believe this. Today in my yoga class, one woman had just came back from having electrons, something removed from her back that she had, that had wires going out to stimulate her muscles so she could do something. What it was, I don't know. But she said, I had it removed. I'm not taking pain pills. I'm not taking antibiotics. And everything is just right. And I didn't want that in there. And I had it removed. And the other lady, who was like this, said, oh, I wish I could do something with my neck. I just can't, my neck, all this. And then the woman said, well, do something about it. You don't have to live with that. Oh, she said, oh, yes, I do. And the woman said, why? Well, the doctor told me. The doctor told her. So she believed the doctor instead of believing that it's a power within you. You have to become your own authority in life. Always you have to become your own authority in life. You're the one that's making up your life. You're the one that's doing that. No one else is doing that unless you take all that stuff in from other people. Most people, you know, just regurgitate what other people are saying anyway. I had a friend once that said, he's so intelligent, he can talk on all these subjects. Well, yes. Anything was in Time magazine, he could just tell you everything about it. Verbatim. He never even changed the words. This is not being intelligent. This is not using your mind. You know. Regurgitating is not intelligent at all. And I know many institutions of education think, oh, if we can get them just to repeat back to us everything, they will be educated people. You're not educated by just repeating everything that everyone else says. You're educated when you can draw out all the knowledge that's in you and make it your own. We all have access to everything. No one can know anything that anyone else cannot know. You have to apply yourself. Because we live, move, and have our being in the mind of God, we can all know everything. But we think because we look different or act different or think differently than other people, that they can do it and we can't. But anyone can tap into all the knowledge in the universe. It's there to be tapped into. So back to being static. The universe is not static and your life is not static. And change is the only thing that's going to occur. And it depends, how am I going to approach that change? Always know that any change is taking you to something better. That this thing that we call the universe and God is not moving backwards. It's always moving forward. And it's always moving from good to greater good and from glory to greater glory. And when you know that and you look back in your own life, you see that happening all the time. But our mind makes us forget it. And we think, oh no, not again. Oh, what's going to happen to me? Always think that wonderful things are going to happen to you. Why would you think that anything bad would ever happen to you? Why would you think that? Don't worry about those things. Know that you're being taken care of, that you are protected at all times, and that this thing that we call God loves you so much and supports you so much and wants you to have everything that you desire. So use your own mind, use your own thinking, use your own uniqueness to bring this about. And don't try to imitate anybody or be anybody else. Be yourself, the very best person. And inside we all have it. But we listen to that mind, remember? That tells us, no, this isn't true. You can't do it this way. You have to do it that way. You don't have to do any of that. You can do your own thing the way you want to do it and bring all your desires into this moment so that you have them. You don't have to wait around. That's another thing that people think, well, I'm not old enough yet to do that, or I need this, that, the other thing. Age has nothing to do with anything. The only thing that has anything to do with anything is awareness. You have to become aware. Aware that you are total consciousness. And that you can do something with that total consciousness. So become aware of who you are. Become aware of your power. Become aware of your consciousness. The consciousness is outside of you. Consciousness is not in your body. Your body is in consciousness. Your thinking is in consciousness. And when you go to consciousness, you can become a witness to your own thinking. And you can see your thinking. And you can tell what to change about your thinking. Because you are not your mind. Your mind is yours. And you learn how to use that. The same way you learned how to use your computer. And with mind, the biggest button for thoughts and so forth is the delete button. You know, of all the thoughts that go through our head, most of them are absolutely useless. But we sit around thinking about all that useless stuff all the time. We sit around thinking about all the things that might happen or if happen. I don't watch the news for many different reasons. But one of the reasons, and you'll hear this with everybody, nothing happened to them. But they say, well, what if your car moved just in time? What if that truck would have hit you? What if this would have happened? What if that plane? It's all ifs. It never happened. So why do you want to say if? I fell down. Isn't it great that I fell on the ground and not cement? Yes, because you'd have broke your leg. Well, you didn't break your leg. You see, all these ifs don't bring you anything. They're just useless conversation. Not getting you anywhere to sit around speculating, what if, you see. And we do that all the time, don't we? We always want to make things worse.
It's never what if for something positive.
No.
That's kind of interesting.
Yes. The mind loves to go to the negative. The negative has more impact on us. Look at all the stuff that we watch all the time. We're the only society that sits around and watches murder most of the day. Turn on the television, that's all you see, somebody being murdered. Mm-hmm. And we sit around and watch murders. No way to treat your mind, is it, or your life? Oh, let's watch them being killed today. Television. Very strange thing. You have to be very selective in what you're watching. Otherwise, in an evening, how many dozens of people do you think you can kill off in an evening? Especially if you watch that Law and Order one right after the other. And we just take that for granted, that that's what's going on out there, and that's what life is. And that's the box we put ourselves in, and that's the paradigm we put ourselves in. And we think that's what life is. And life is not that at all. So change your mind about that. Change your belief about that. And change that whole paradigm. And the whole world will change. They wouldn't have all that stuff on television if people stopped watching it. They wouldn't have it. They'd have decent things for you to watch, which would be more stimulating. Wouldn't it be nice to watch wonderful things and to find out how great you are and how great life is and how beautiful the world is and all, instead of seeing always looking at the ugly side of life? And the more we look at the ugly side of life, the more we produce the ugly side of life. Just happens that way. If I say television doesn't influence children, then why does a 3-year-old kill a 2-year-old with a gun? Something's influencing them somewhere. But we don't have to stay in any of these things. We have the choice to move out. And that's the great news for you. That you can move out of these situations. And it's wonderful. Has anyone run into any race mind alerts out there? No.
What do you mean by that?
A race mind alert? There was a sign for one of the restaurants which said, "You called in fake sick 3 times this week, so treat yourself to one of our steaks." That's race mind. Race mind is always what the race is doing and what the race is thinking at the time. And they're out there. Another one from the gas company. Turn your thermos down and save money, which you can spend. You see, you're not saving it if you spend it. That's race mind. And people believe that, and they keep believing that. Say, what was the old race mind? Life is over at 40. It's all downhill after 40. That everyone used to say that.
And then there was another one where life begins at 40.
And then there was one that life begins at 40. And now they say 70 is the new 40. You see, we're all just being manipulated constantly, and that's race mind doing that. Just manipulating us up one side and down the other. And there's tons of them out there. The one that I heard and have been hearing for some time now is, I ran a marathon or ran across the country for breast cancer because my sister died of breast cancer 15 years ago. And now I have it. But thanks to Lavardis, they've cured me or something. The part of race mind that I'm talking about there is, you cannot run races for AIDS, walks for AIDS, cancer, and all that. Because your mind does not know that you're walking against it. It makes you walk for it. So you're for it. And if you're running across country because of breast cancer, you're saying, "I want breast cancer." And the universe who responds to you lets you have breast cancer because the universe doesn't know. It only gives you what you want. So you have to be very careful with organizations and things that you join and so forth.
I remember in one of your classes a while back, and you were talking about traffic and clearing it, and the young man created the traffic because he was focused on the traffic
rather
than clearing it.
Yes. And we all create that. We create traffic all the time.
When I learned self-defense, the number one thing is that you don't get the mindset of a victim. And I just remind you, don't think about it.
Right.
It shouldn't occur to you that you're going to get attacked.
Right.
And you won't.
Right. This is exactly right.
So if you think about it, you're going to,
yes.
You are a target for it. And it's the same thing. They didn't say it in the same words, but that's exactly what you...
What you think about, you bring about, is a very old saying. And they always say to metaphysicians, well, what would you do if you were in a dark alley and 2 men came at you with knives?
Give them forks.
The answer is, a metaphysician wouldn't be in a dark alley. It would be an impossibility. You see, I let my car open. It's out there with the keys in front of Rhoda's house. But would I do that in South Central, in Watts? Would I do that? Probably not. Because my consciousness is not that big right now. And because I've heard so many reports about Watts and so many things there, that I would draw that into me. But anyplace else, I'd leave the car and the keys in all the time.
I would too.
Yeah. It's a wonderful car. Yeah. Because I don't attract that. That's what that boy was attracting. Just drove me nuts. I couldn't wait to get out of that car. He was so afraid that the window was down that somebody got in that car. I never saw anyone carry on. So I looked through the glove compartment and everything. He was sure something was stolen. And something will get stolen.
Dallas, by talking about it, are you attracting it?
No.
No. Okay.
No. I'm not attracting it. People do attract it by talking about it.
Okay.
So, but I don't do that, you know. I know that I'm not drawing things to me. I don't open up myself to bring things into me. Say, I have a little guard up there so that those things will bounce off. They don't come to me. So, and this is, you can all learn to do that. When you leave your house, just cover it with white light. And it'll take care of itself.
Actually, I have an example of that. We live in a really nice building, him and I, in different apartments. And it seems like the neighborhood around the building is not so nice. Because we've had like 3 or 4 homicides in the last 3 months.
And bomb scares.
Bomb threats the other day and all that. But the funny thing is the policeman came one day in the building and they said, how come we're never called into this building? Because they're always all over the other places. There's people getting killed right and left. And they never come to ours. And I think it's because we're just peaceful beings.
Yes.
We're happy and we feel safe.
Yes. Yes. And you can live in the center of all that
and
not be harmed, absolutely.
And I feel safe and happy and keep my windows open.
And that's the thing to do, is to feel safe in this universe. And know that you're safe in this universe. And what is the one thing that most people say when you leave their home?
Lock the door.
Be careful.
Or drive carefully.
Drive safe. I get that all the time.
How else are you going to drive?
Exactly.
Recklessly. And if you say to somebody, be careful, what is out there? See, if you happen to realize that all is gone, then what is out there to get you? Remember the Spanish had the wonderful thing, God go with you?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what say to people, God go with you. Not be careful. Something is out there lurking to jump on you.
Hope you don't die.
No. There's nothing lurking. There's nothing lurking out there, people. Nothing. And you have to know that. And make your life wonderful. Okay.
I gave you all good example of my friend who was so vigilant about keeping that bolt locked or door locked. And if I ever came in and left it open, she'd just go hysterical. And she once bought this car. It was not a brand new one, but a used one after I told you this. And within 30 minutes, she was walking her dog in the storm. She came back and was gone out of a gated garage. Now, she I know,
terrible.
I know for a fact that she had been, you know, traumatized, probably more than one occasion, you know, abused. So there's a very strong security issue. What do you say to people like that about somehow overcoming those past incidents in their history, in their personal history? How would they overcome
something? Well, to overcome something like that, first of all, you have to move out of what we call the race mind attitude. Everyone that's traumatized, race mind says, aha, you're traumatized, therefore this is going to happen, that's going to happen, this is going to happen, you're never going to get over that the rest of your life. And that's not true. You get over things, don't you, Rose? You have to. Rose is a Holocaust survivor. And you have to get over it. What's your expression? What was, was.
That's right.
And that's what you get. What was, was. You can't let your rest of your life go by because of that. And it was a horrible thing. And lots of horrible things happen to people. But then they make that their whole life. And they use that as an excuse for the rest of their life. Brings us right back to the idea that nothing is static. It's not going to happen again. It's not going to repeat itself unless you keep thinking about it. And yes, these things happen to us all. But we have to learn to forgive and love ourselves and get out of those situations. Otherwise, we just keep thinking about them and we draw them to us more and more and more, and we have a miserable life. But we blame it on that one incident. And it can be horrendous. I'm not putting the situation down at all. But many people who came out of the Holocaust wrote wonderful books and had wonderful things. And it was a horrible experience. We never want that to happen again. But you can't live in that, can you? And that's, she's living in her old situation.
The people say that. They say, well, we have to remind.
We have to remember.
What happened, because we don't want it to happen again. Right. But it's happened repeatedly.
Yes.
Over a genocide we've seen.
Yes.
Beforehand.
Right.
Again and again. And I don't think that is a solution to remind
no.
us all the time.
I don't think it's a solution to remind us all the time either. And what else do we do all the time? We have a war. And as soon as the war is over, we build statues to all the generals. And then we look at them all the time and say, oh, isn't that great? Isn't this wonderful? Isn't it? And we do it again.
And remember the war.
And remember the war. We keep remembering the war. And we say how romantic it was and this and all the other things that we come up with about it. And we have Memorial Day parades and we have this going on and that going on. And we just keep bringing the same thing. We just keep redoing it and redoing it and redoing it. No, I'm against any of that type of thing.
Isn't that really from a lack of forgiveness and love? Just reminding?
Well, I think it's not only a lack of forgiveness and love. We are always trying to justify what we've done. And afterwards, we build monuments to things. We're always building a monument to something. Why are we building a monument to something? Speaking of building a monument to things, that's what your friend does, that she can't get out of the situation she's in. She's built a monument, and now she has to keep looking at that monument. She has to keep remembering that monument. And we all do that. We're always building a monument to something to make it right so that it doesn't seem so bad. Now we feel better. Oh, now let's do a monument to this. The same. Let's kill Martin Luther King, but let's make a great big statue of him someplace. Or JFK, or any of them. We glamorize all that stuff. And we think now it's all right because we've named schools and colleges and airports and everything else after the person. So he didn't die in vain. All death is in vain. When they say you gave the ultimate sacrifice, I think it's absolutely ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous to say that. They gave the ultimate sacrifice. And they do that to these young children. And they try to justify it. You cannot justify any of it. And making a monument to something does not make it right. It does not make it right. And yet we do that constantly. So that's on the big scheme. So don't make monuments in your own life, even little tiny monuments to something. Let it all go. Otherwise, you're going to be stuck. you won't be able to move forward. And the whole idea is to move forward. Okay? All right. With that said, I will do a spiritual mind treatment. And when I use the word spiritual mind treatment, it's just a form of prayer. It's an organized form of prayer. We are affirming or reaffirming what the universe already knows about us. I'll do this in the first person, and all those who are willing may take it for themselves in the first person. And this is what I absolutely believe and absolutely know without a shadow of a doubt. It is my firm foundation. I stand upon it all the time. And that is that I am one with this universe, and this universe is filled with abundance and prosperity. And that abundance and prosperity belong to me. And I claim my full share of it without any type of shame or guilt whatsoever. Because I know that I am worthy, deserving, and totally lovable. And I realize that this universe wants to give me everything. And I willingly accept it. I open myself right here and right now to receive the abundance of the universe. And that includes money. And I let that be so, and so it is. Tonight's topic is thieves. If anyone got the email, Casey just sent it out today. But the it must have been slow. Thieves. Why did I pick that as a title? Because we all have them. And we all think that we don't, but we do. We talk about people stealing on the outside. But we have so many thieves going on in our own mind that we allow our thinking to rob us of the present moment. We're constantly allowing our thinking to do that to us. That's stealing. That's one of the thieves. We have to learn to live in the present moment and not allow our thinking to take us someplace else. You're here right now listening to me in this room. Did your mind say, oh, I should have been at home. I could have been here. Did it think of anything else? As soon as it thinks of anything else, besides focusing on what you're doing right now, a thief just came in and stole your moment from you. Just stole it right away from you. So we have to train our mind to focus on what we are doing at the moment. All power is in the present moment. All power is in the now. And you have to stay in the now to be able to feel the power and to be able to use the power. And what we do is we go in and out of it. We go in and out of it all the time. Because we say to ourselves, oh, tomorrow I have this to do. Or, oh, did I do that at work today? Once you leave work, you have to leave work. If you let your mind go back to work and start thinking, oh, did I turn this off? Did I do that? Did this run? Did that? Oh, I should have made that appointment. Should have. Those are just thieves stealing your present moment away from you. So you train your mind to stay in the moment. How do you do that? If your mind starts to go someplace else, you can always grab a hold of something solid that you're around and pull yourself back. I'm here. And just say, uh-oh, I'm here. I'm not at home. I'm not thinking, what am I going to do after Dallas stops talking? You say, or do I have my clothes laid out for the morning, or what am I going to wear tomorrow, or this and that and the other thing? That's just little tricks of the mind to keep you out of the present moment. And you hear that all the time. You read The Power of Now. All these books will tell you that you have to stay in the present moment. But most of them don't tell you how to do that. They tell you you should do that. And we say, oh yeah, that's a great idea. I should be in the present moment. What are the techniques to stay in the present moment? Well, first of all, you have to center yourself constantly. One trick is to touch something. If you touch something, now I know I'm in this room. I know I'm on this chair. If I sit here and start thinking, oh, I'm at home, I could, now I'm at home. And I bring myself back by touching what I'm around. Then I watch my own thinking. I become a witness to my thoughts. And I say, well, that isn't what I'm supposed to be thinking right now. That isn't where I'm supposed to be right now. Or the daydreaming and all that. Sometimes it's fun to daydream. It's fun to do all those things. But they steal you of the present moment. Most daydreams do not come true, by the way. They're just fantasies. Fantasies never come true. Visions come true. Fantasies do not come true. They're just wonderful little things to have. You can treat yourself to one of those. But you can't do it all the time. You cannot be somewhere else all the time. You have to be where your body is. You have to be where your body is. And we don't do that. We float someplace else and then we come back. Then we go here, then we go there. Try to stay in your body. Try to stay where you are. Unless you want an out-of-body experience, but that's a completely different thing. But in everyday life, keep centered in your own body, in your own self. Remember, everything is inside of you, but you never look there. You'll look everywhere else before you'll look inside of yourself. Remember, that was the little trick that the gods did years ago when they wanted to hide from humans. They got together and said, well, where could we hide? And one said, oh, we could hide at the bottom of the ocean. They'll never find us there. And someone said, oh, you know, they're pretty smart. They'll find us at the bottom of the ocean. Well, we'll go to the highest mountain. We'll hide there. They'll never come there. Oh, no, somebody will find us there. So finally, one of the gods said, oh, let's hide with inside of them. They'll never look there. And we don't look with inside of us. Look inside and see what's going on. Stay in the present moment. So try to do that. Watch your thinking. Where is it going? Is it outside? Or is it with me right now? Am I thinking thoughts in the present moment? Or am I wondering what happened 10 years ago? You see, it won't get you anywhere. I know people are still trying to solve something that happened 30 years ago. Well, they haven't solved in 30 years. Don't you think you're not going to solve it? But they will bring that up again. They will bring that up again. That's why I don't like to be around people that drink. People who get liquored up always tell you all the past from years ago. They remember every slight they ever had and they bring it up to you. Why did that on me? I couldn't hang dinner. That's not, means nothing. Let all that go. Don't do that to yourself. Stay present. Stay with what you're thinking. Be focused on what you're doing at the moment. And your life will change because of that also. People's lives don't change because they're not in the present moment. And change can only happen in the present moment because that's where the power is. So if you want to change, you have to change from the present. You can't change anything that's in the past. But yet people go back and they want to change that. You can't change anything that's in the past. You can change your concept of what went on in the past. And if the past is bothering you, change the concept. Change your idea about that. But learn to stay in the moment. I read where the Holocaust survivors that were able to stay in the moment could go through the Holocaust. The ones that kept remembering what life was like before didn't make it. They couldn't make it because they went crazy and they just gave up. But if you stay in the now, that's where the power is. And even all that stuff that's going on that's horrible and horrendous, you have to stay in the now. Yeah. And that's where the power is in the now. But we let our minds take us someplace else and do something else to us. Don't do that to yourself. Learn to become a witness to your own thinking. You see, most of you now realize that you're not your mind. But you still trip yourself up by thinking that you're your thinking. And your thinking is only thinking if it's not you either. You see, you can say, oh, I know I'm not my mind, but this thought that just went through belonged to me. Boy, I thought that up, and I'm going to have to analyze this. You don't have to analyze. That's just a thought. It's like a train. It just goes through your head. Let it go. You don't have to act on any thought that comes through your head. But yet people think they do. You don't have to act on any thought that comes through your head. You say, oh, that's a horrible thought. You let it go. People get themselves into trouble because they act on the first thought that comes through. You don't. You are not your thoughts. You are not your mind. You are not your thoughts. You are not your body. You are not all the things that you think you are. You are awareness. You are pure consciousness. Is what you are. And you'll, by doing these exercises and by staying in the now, you'll discover your own consciousness. You'll discover that power within you. But you'll never discover it being anywhere else or letting these thoughts, which are thieves, rob you of the present moment. And that's what your thoughts do. They become robbers. And they steal things from you. And what kind of thoughts? Hateful thoughts, mean thoughts, resentful thoughts. Any of those thoughts are stealing from you. They're not only stealing you from the present moment, they're actually stealing your own life and your life force. And this is what makes people sick and ill and so forth. Because you're letting yourself be robbed. Letting yourself be robbed at the present moment. And the power is in the present moment. So just think. Use your thinking. Become a witness to what you're thinking. And realize that you can change that thinking and that the thinking is not yours. It's just not yours. It's just thinking. We live in thought atmospheres. We live in a consciousness. We live in powerful consciousness. We're always walking in and out of thought atmospheres. You can't take all that on. You have to stay in your own consciousness, in your own thought atmosphere, and start believing in yourself and in your power and not somebody else's power. Like the woman who said, well, the doctor said so. So now my head's going to be like this the rest of my life. They mean well. I'm not putting them down. But they can only use what they know. And they are all living in a paradigm in the belief system. You don't have to move into their belief system, you see. Any of these belief systems, you don't have to pitch a tent and live there, you know. You say, oh, well, I don't like that one. I'm getting another one. And you start to get new beliefs about yourself. And the belief that you want to know about yourself is that you're always worthy. You're always deserving. And you're always totally lovable. Get those three things so ingrained within you, then nothing will bother you. And you won't mind what happens. Because that's your firm foundation. And when you have that as your center, and you have that concrete to be on, you're solid then. You're absolutely solid. Remember in the Bible when it says, do not build your home on sand, build it on solid rock? Well, that's what that means. Don't build your thinking and your life on flimsy things that are going. Build it on something solid. What can you build your life on that's solid? I'm worthy, deserving, and totally lovable. They are solid. The rest is not solid. So that's your firm foundation. That you had one?
That was it. I just worthy. I didn't know the third one. Oh. Worthy, deserving.
And totally lovable.
How is worthy different than deserving?
Well, many people feel worthy, but they don't think that they deserve something.
Uh-huh.
So you have to feel worthy and deserving. You see? Two different things. Close, but different.
And it's not entitled. Worthy and deserving are...
Entitled, no. Entitlement only came into our vocabulary several years ago through psychoanalysis and so forth. It was brought in because they wanted you to know your entitlement. And then the government took that over. And then people started to say, well, I'm entitled to this, that, and the other thing. You may be worthy and deserving and totally lovable, but are you entitled to something? Very strange thing, because people say, I'm entitled to welfare. Now, would you want to be entitled to welfare? Well, you can use welfare, you can have welfare, but you can't make that an entitlement. And that's what's happened in this country, in many countries. Everyone now feels they're entitled to something without any effort whatsoever, without doing anything. And being entitled does not make you feel worthy, deserving, or totally lovable. In fact, it acts in reverse, because once you think you're entitled to welfare and you start to get welfare, most welfare people feel very bad about themselves. And it just gets worse, because it's not a good system. It's a poor consciousness to begin with. And if you have a poor consciousness, you're going to not only stay poor financially, but a poor consciousness is like any other thing. If you have a rich consciousness, you're rich in all areas of your life. If you have a poor consciousness, you're poor in all areas of your life. Your health, your relationships, everything. And look at poor people, what we consider poor people. The reason why they can't raise themselves up is because not only do they believe that they're poor, their health is usually poor. Bad, because they are poor in health, they're poor in this, they're poor in everything. It's consciousness. Everything in this world is consciousness, and you have to get the right consciousness. So you have to have a rich consciousness. I am rich in prosperity, money, and abundance. I am rich in health. I am rich in relationships. I am rich in creative self-expression. You have to know that you're rich across the board.
Is that why Buddha said, I am awake?
Yes.
Because he was always in the now?
He was always in the now. What's the other thing that we know about Buddha? Have you ever seen the Buddha? One hand is always down. Because he's always connected to the earth. You have to be connected to this earth. Otherwise, you become what we call airy-fairy. And it doesn't get you anywhere to be airy-fairy. Yes, we want you to zoom up as high as you can go. But you have to be connected to the earth. You must stay connected. That's called grounded. You must become grounded in something. You can ground yourself in this teaching. You can ground yourself in the idea that you're whole, complete, and perfect, that you're worthy, deserving, and totally lovable. That's grounding yourself in something. If you're not grounded in something, you fly all over the place, and you flip-flop, and you do this, that, and the other thing. People say, well, that's a free spirit. They're such a free spirit. Well, they're not a free spirit. They're flipping, flopping, and they're airy-fairy. You have to have a firm foundation. And when you have that, no one can move you from that. You see, if you know that you're whole, complete, and perfect, lovable and worthy and deserving, and you know that and that's in you, And anyone can say to you, I hate you, you're an awful person, you're this, that, or the other thing. It doesn't matter what anyone says to you, because you have your foundation. And you realize that can't be true. They're out and out liars. But if you don't have that, you go home and say, oh, they were right. I'm me. Oh, I'm, oh, yeah, I'm an awful person. I'm a dreadful. No. Find a firm foundation. Find your firm foundation. With actors, having a firm foundation reads on the screen and on the stage, and it certainly reads in front of a casting agent. When they know that you're solid, and they use that. He's a solid actor. They use that term. They have no idea why they use that. You have to be solid. And when you feel solid, don't you always get the part? So, before you go to an audition or anything, remind yourself that you're worthy, deserving, and totally lovable. And say, I'm back on my foundation. And no one can knock me off this foundation. To them, when the casting agent says, you're not quite right for the part. You do a good job anyway, and when you go home, you don't fall apart. Why don't you fall apart? Because you're on your firm foundation. You know that you're worthy, deserving, and totally lovable. And what that casting is, because you didn't get the part, does not take that away from you. So you don't get depressed. You say, huh, I can't wait to go out tomorrow and try this again. But we all do that to ourselves, don't we? As soon as we don't get what we want, we think, oh, well, now I'm worthless. I'm just absolutely worthless. Get nowhere in the world. Have a firm foundation. Okay? So remember, you're always whole, complete, and perfect. That cannot be taken from you. You're whole, complete, and perfect because the thing that made you is whole, complete, and perfect. And something that's perfect cannot make something that's imperfect. And you're absolutely, totally worthy, deserving, and totally lovable. Because this universe loves you so much that you are the beloved in whom it is well pleased. And it's wonderful. And so are you. And so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.